These young folks, who wants to help me? You going to still help me? Come on. What we're going to do, I want to see if any of y'all can balance these 10, 16 penny nails on the head of that one nail. Can you do it? Come on, try. Yeah, all 10 of them on the head of that one nail. You know, Jesus Christ, he came to this old earth. He walked around for 33 and a half years. Boy, that ain't going to work. But I'm glad he worked, amen. He walked on this earth for 33 and a half years, and he went to a cruel grave, or a cruel cross, amen, and died on it. But they nailed him on a tree with three old nails. I say three old rusty nails. But anyway, anybody else going to try it? Come on. Come on, try it. You can do it. There's 10 of them there. But he went into that cross, and they nailed him on that cross through his wrist, through his feet, and with three nails. And you know what? He died. But on the third day, they buried him in an old barred tomb, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead. That me and you can find remission for our sin. And there ain't nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ. And so I've always used this analogy to kind of say, or this little thing here to kind of say that, you know, Jesus Christ took three old rusty nails and he bridged a gap across that great gulf for me and for you. You know, not only for me and for you, but for the sins of the whole world. For whosoever will come to accept him. Come on, you're going to try it. You said you would, you're going to try it. Amen. I think you can do it. Amen. And he'll do that for you. You know that? If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, as Lord of your life, boy, you're getting closer, ain't you? He's faithful. He'll come into you. You'll be born again. Become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's nothing better than Jesus. And if there's one thing I want you to remember tonight, that Jesus loves you. That we have an eternal God of this universe that loves you more than, and it's unconditional love. He loved you so much that he died for you. Y'all listening to me? I want you to watch too. Because hopefully it'll help you remember. Alright. You want me to show you how to do it? Come here, y'all, you're gonna help me, alright? Let's just do this right here. Alright, we're gonna take one nail that way, okay? We're gonna take one nail this way. We'll take another that way. We'll take another that way. Another one that way. How many we got? How many nails we got now? I need some help. I can't count. We passed. There's 11 nails up here, I think. We done passed what I got on my fingers. How many is that? And here's 10, right? There's 10. There's 10 nails. And it didn't take but three for Jesus to go to the cross at Calvary and die for your sins. He loves you. He loves you. You want to leave it sat there all night, Brother Will? Who teaches our young people in Sunday school? Huh? Somebody teaches the young people here in Sunday school.
Sunday school, raise your hand.
Cheryl. Not here? Amen. Well, we'll leave that there. They can have it. Y'all can show them how it does that. Hey, I thank y'all for coming and participating. You see how it can happen. But he took three and balanced the sins of the whole world. Amen. He hung them. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. He'll forgive you. I don't care what you've done in life. A lot of you ain't very old. Y'all probably haven't done a whole lot wrong in life. Maybe tell a little lie to your mom and daddy. Maybe still take a piece of chewing gum that didn't belong to you. But Jesus Christ, he'll forgive you for it.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. And I'm going to preach on that tonight. Lord help. Amen. Thank y'all for coming out.
Amen.
Being a part of it.
Amen.
Simple stuff. Amen. Thank you for trying.
Amen.
But thank you most of all for coming here tonight. Amen.
Amen.
But anyway, I tell you, I want to say first of all, thank you. Let me get this thing fired up. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you this week. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to wind it down tonight. Night's last night. She said, Billy, you better not quiet it down too much and people ought to run you out of here. I said, we're just going to honor God, amen. And I want to say thank you, brother, Pastor Roddy, for having me here. It's been an honor and a privilege, and I thank the Lord for it. I pray that through it all, that somebody has gotten something to help them, something to carry them through, something to help them through whenever maybe you're going through your next valley, whatever it might be, that you could remember that God is still on his throne, that God's still in control. God still loves you. No matter what goes on, brother, he still loves you. I tell you what, I got to think about you up here testifying last night. Boy, I like a good testimony, amen. I like it when people just go to shouting and praising God, amen. There's nothing wrong with that. And who knows, it might turn into that tonight, because I'm telling you, we serve an awesome God. We serve the creator of the heavens and the earth. He created everything. And I'm here to tell you tonight, he loves us, and he loves us unconditionally as we get into this message. Matter of fact, tonight's message is from a very, very familiar verse. I think a lot of you probably know it by heart. A lot of you young folks in here probably know it by heart. I pray that you do. But I tell you, it's a familiar verse. And just that one verse, if that's all you had out of the Word of God, I believe it could impact the life. I believe you could take it with you on your soul-winning trip. How many soul winners we have in here that go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what, this verse right here, you could take it, and it's got everything you need to tell somebody about the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God, and it is unconditional. I tell you, this book that I hold in my hand, I tell you, I love it. I believe it's God's inspired word. I tell you what, I believe everything that's in it. I thank God for it every day, but I tell you what, it's an expression, and really and truly, it's an expression of God's love. It has a book of principles also of how we should live our life. I'm not going to take away from that, but I want to get to the focus of what I want to talk about tonight, what I want to preach just a little bit and teach maybe. I don't know. We just go as the Lord leads. The expression of God's love. I'm telling you what, His goodness, and it's His mercy, and it's His kindness, His judgment, His condemnation, His discipline. I tell you what, it's all right here in this old King James Bible. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful that He gave me His Word. I'm thankful that I had a one verse that I could go to, and it just gave me the whole gospel. Right there in a nutshell. How many know what that verse is? John 3:16. Boy, praise the Lord. How many can quote it here tonight? Can you read it with me? For God so loved the world. Come on, everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I'm glad we've got just one verse in the Word of God that we could go to and try to lead somebody to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Hey, you may have that opportunity to come and rise up one day whenever you're out in your community or out with a neighbor or whatever it might be, that you can give them something that'll help them. Amen. I tell you what, God's Word will not return void. I tell you, God's Word is a help. The occasion of John 3:16 comes up whenever Nicodemus comes to Jesus. Hey, he comes to him, and they're having a conversation, and Jesus tells him how he must be born again, and he can't understand all that. But I tell you what, he can't understand this, amen, that he must be born again. Hey, the first time he couldn't go back up in his mama's womb, he couldn't do that, but bless God, he could be born of the Spirit. He wasn't talking about being born of the flesh. He was talking about being born of the Spirit. That's my prayer in here tonight, that everybody in here is born of the Spirit, that you've been born again. It's important in this day and hour in which we live that we know that we can stand on that and believe that. But I'll tell you what, that birth that he was talking about, that spiritual birth, will inherit you the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you something tonight. I'm glad I'm going home one day. This is not my place. I'm just a sojourner passing through for a short time. I won't be here forever, but I'll be here forever with Him. Amen. I believe He said He'd create a new heavens and a new earth. I believe there's going to come a day that we'll have an earth that we'll come back to, and we'll lay together with the lions and the sheep be together. Bless God. I believe all that. But until then, let's do everything we can to get everybody else on board with that, amen, that they might come to know Him as Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. That's important. And you know what? A lot of people read that verse right there, but they leave this one out. And I know this ain't a very familiar verse, and I'm preaching on the familiar verse tonight, but verse 17, it says, for God sent not His Son into the world to what? Condemn the world. Oh, boy, I'm telling you what, I thank the Lord that he didn't come to condemn me. Hey, the world ain't this blob of dirt that we're walking around on. The world that he's talking about is me and you and others out here, the human beings. That's who he loves. That's who he cares for. And I'm thankful for that, that he didn't come to this earth to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Can I say that again? That the world through him might be saved. That's the only way salvation comes. And what I want to do tonight is just break this verse down just a little bit and look at this. First thing I want to look at is the source of this love for God. Let me tell you what, he's the eternal God of this universe. He is forever. He always has been, always will be. He knows everything. Let me tell you something, he's not no Buddha. He's not no Muhammad. He's not, and you know what, all those are false gods, false religion. People out here giving everything they have to that mess and going to die and bust hell wide open and believing a lie. But let me tell you something else. It ain't. I said Muhammad and Buddha, all the other ones, Joseph Smith, all of them, they're false gods. But I'm talking about the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, for God. Hey, that's the God we're talking about tonight. And let me tell you something else too, brother. I'm not talking about that TV God. A lot of us spend too much time at the TV set and make it our God. That ain't the God we need to be serving. We need to be serving the eternal God of this universe, the creator of the heavens and earth, the one that paved the way for your salvation. You sit here and you say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I know it. Why don't you show it? Amen. Why do we spend so much time in front of the TV set? Why do we spend so much time on the radio? Listen to it. Oh, let me harp on that a minute. It got quiet. Let me tell you something. Country music ain't good music. If it ain't gospel, if it ain't uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to keep it out of your head. You ought to keep it out of your ears. Let me tell you something. Any of you parents in here says, oh, it's all right to listen to country music. You're going to have a kid grow up thinking it's all right to have a tear in their beer. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. Don't back up on it. I'm telling you the truth. Fill their head full of gospel music. If you're going to let them listen to music, fill it full of gospel. I'm not talking about this newfangled junk that our world outside this place for most part is listening to, and they call it, gospel rock. Yeah. Have you ever heard of such a mess in all your life? Yeah, it's about stupid. That ain't the gospel. I'm talking about a clear presentation of the gospel. These songs that y'all sing all week long, the choir, and the folks that got up here and sang, I tell you what, they've been portraying the gospel. I'm going to tell you this, and I like that kind of music, amen. It lights my wood, so to speak, amen. It makes me want to get up here and shout a little bit and preach God's word and tell about his glory and his goodness and his grace, amen. But also I'll tell you about his wrath in a place called hell. And he didn't intend for any of us to go there. But I tell you what, the source of God's love, I tell you, it's nothing better than knowing that God loves you, but not also I want to look at the character of God's love. So love. He so loved the world, amen. He so loved us. And I told you earlier, I got ahead of myself, that it's not this dirt blob that we walk around on, although it's beautiful. You go to the mountains. I'm kind of a mountain type person anyway. Some of you love the ocean. But let me tell you what, that ain't the world that God's talking about that he loves. He loves you, amen. He loves lost sinners out there. He said he's not willing that any should perish at all. That's the character of God's love. He loved us so much that he gave his son for us. Amen. And I'm telling you that I think about that prodigal son whenever I think about God's love and how that father, he went all and spent all his money and all his livelihood that he was given, his inheritance, so to speak. And he spent it all on righteous living. And he got down to where he was in the hog pen. Bless God, he got way down yonder slopping with the hogs. And next thing you know, he's filling up his belly with husk. And the next thing you know, he realizes, hey, if I could just go back and be a servant of my father, oh, what better I would be. They got plenty of bread to eat. Hey, they ain't wanting for nothing. Hey, they've got leftovers. Hey, I asked if I could just get a little bit of that. And he said, well, if I could just go back there and I could get back in touch with my dad, that he'd make me a servant. But what did his dad do? Boy, he's just like our Heavenly Father. He come running to him. Hey, he was right there with him. Hey, he restored his son. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what, that's the same God that we serve. Amen. Whenever, as I said last night, whenever we fall, he's right there to pick us back up, no matter what it is. I'm telling you what, we serve an awesome God, and it's an unconditional love that he has for us. He don't put conditions on his love for me and you. Well, I tell you what, so many times we wretched old sinners, we put conditions on love. Boy, I love you if you do right. I love you if you go to work every day. I love you if you'll be true to me. And let me tell you what, there ain't no ifs. God's love's unconditional. Hey, whenever you come to him, he loves you. Amen. Hey, he loves the lost. He loves the sinners out there. He wants them to accept his son, Jesus Christ. I tell you, if there's one thing we ought to have in this revival, is a burden for souls. I tell you what, I'd say we got a grip on revival. Amen. If everybody goes out here with the mindset, hey, I'm going to take John 3:16 and I'm going to go tell the world about God's love for me and how much he loves them, I'll tell you what, we could see a change in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know how many's in here. It looks like about 75 or 80. I'm going to tell you what. But if all 80 of you would go out here and tell one, and then that one would go tell another, just think how much it multiplies. Hey, I'll tell you what. God's plan always has worked. God's plan always will work. We can't stop now. We got to keep moving forward. Hey, that's the character of God's love. He loves us so much. Boy, I'm going to tell you, he's an awesome God. You love him tonight? I'm telling you what, I love him. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful I've got a home in glory. I'm thankful that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Boy, I'll tell you, not only the character of God's love, but the object of God's love is this world. Hey, I'll tell you what, he came for every sin that's ever been committed. When Christ died, whenever those nails was drove in his hands, and he died and he was buried, and on that third day he rose again from the dead, and whenever he went to heaven and applied that blood to the mercy seat, let me tell you what, he died. He done that for the sins of the whole world. It wasn't just mine, Brother Ronnie. It wasn't just yours. It wasn't just yours back there. It was for every sin that's ever been committed, every sin that ever will be committed. Not just to save, not just for the lost too. And that's the reason why I can't understand why somebody will not accept Jesus Christ, the free gift, the greatest gift that's ever been given, and they will not accept. Boy, don't that just, it makes me wonder how somebody can be so stupid. That's what I was. I run around for a long time. I ain't talking bad about nobody. I was stupid. I wasn't ignorant. I knew better. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell. And I was just stupid running away from him for years. And why people want to do that. Boy, it's an awesome love that our Lord and Savior has for us. You know he loves you. He's the greatest thing in the world. He loves you too, Billy. He loves you, Mama. Amen. He's awesome. He's a loving God. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the object of his love is toward me and you. And not just me and you, but everybody that's ever walked on the face of this earth. Everybody that ever will walk on the face of this earth. He wants them to come. He wants you to come. Let me tell you something. If you're here tonight and you don't know him, he wants you to come. He wants you to come to him. You have to make that step. It's a personal relationship. You can't get there on your grandma's shirt tail. You won't get there on your grandpa's shirt tail. You won't get there on your daddy's or your mama's, your grandma, your sister's cousin, ex-old lady's wife, mama on your daddy's side, aunt's, uncle's, brother's first cousin. You won't get there on none of them shirt tail but your own, amen. You've got to make a personal decision for Jesus Christ. I don't care how good they are. They cannot get you to heaven. Only you can get there through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the gospel. Amen. That's good. Not only do we see the source, the character, and the object of God's love, we see the gift of God's love that he gave his only begotten son. Boy, I'll tell you what. Whenever I think of what Jesus done, when I think about how they may have led him across that pole and beat him with a cat of nine tails, and the suffering and the pain and the spit that people just spit on him. And I told y'all, I think it was Sunday night. I tell you what, we say the Roman soldiers is the one that killed our Lord. Let me tell you something. Them Roman soldiers may have been the one with the cat of nine tails in their hand, but let me tell you something, I'm the one that killed him. Let me tell you what, if you've accepted him, you're the one that killed him. Let me tell you something, everybody that's ever been born, they're the one that killed him because he died for the sins of the whole world. I'm going to tell you what, I think about what he done whenever he went to that old post there and they took that cat of nine tails. I made one of those one time and I gave an illustration in a junior boys class, and I've been a boy across there. Now, I didn't put no glass shards and pieces of metal in the end of it, but I gave them a taste in what that looked like. And I'm going to tell you what, about three of them got saved and one of them surrendered to preach when they realized just how good their God was and just how 39 lashes with that cat of nine tails. What is that? How many times would that be? 490, whatever it is, that those leather straps beat across his back and pulled his flesh out of his body. Hey, I'm gonna tell you what, he done it all for us. And I tell you what, we ought to recognize that. Hey, yeah, every once in a while we need a vivid picture of that to our young people, that they can see what God done for them. Well, how he manifested himself in the flesh, how he died a gruesome, awesome, awful, awful, awful death for me and for you. And not only after they done that, they took a crown of thorns and drove in his head. Could you imagine that? And then he had to carry his own cross up that old hill called Golgotha. Hey man, he had to go up there. He carried it himself. Could you imagine that? And then he got up there and they nailed him to that old cross. They spread him out. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I couldn't. I've done a little bit of studying how they let him hang just that little bit, and then they lift his legs up so every once in a while he could just push up and get him a breath of air. Could you imagine hanging there in that torment? And I'm gonna tell you what, he done it freely. He done it freely for me and for you. Let me tell you something. If you're lost and undone without him here tonight, he done it freely for you. He wants you to come to him. He don't want you to wait another minute. Hey, we don't have to wait till the end of the service. We don't have to wait till the song sings. We don't have to wait till the preacher says, hey, it's altar time. We can come to him right now. You can come to him at any time. He died for you. Can you realize what he done for you? He died for you. He shed his blood on old Calvary. He laid his life down freely. That means you could go to heaven, brother. Could you imagine that? The gift was the greatest gift. Not only do we see that, the gift of God's love, that he gave his only begotten Son, but the purpose of God's love, that whosoever will believe on him, believe in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm thankful that the sweet Holy Spirit of God come by my way one day. It's 1979. I was sitting on the front porch of my mom and daddy's house. We had prayer meeting there every Wednesday night. The whole church come over. It wasn't no clique, brother. It was a whole church. Everybody was welcome. They come over and we had prayer meeting. And boy, I'll tell you, I never will forget that week. That preacher preached a little bit about hell. Got me wondering about hell. Boy, I was worried to death. And I was just 9 years old in 1979. I got worried about hell. I didn't want to go to that place. I was scared of that place. I knew it was real. And the sweet Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart that Wednesday night. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, the man that was doing the teaching at the Wednesday night prayer meeting Bible study hour, I'm going to tell you what, his name was Craig Kendricks. I never will forget him. He went to be with the Lord now. He took the Bible and he showed me how to be saved. He told me, Billy, you don't have to worry about hell. Hey, that's the purpose. That's the reason why God came, to save old sinners. Let me tell you something, I ain't been the same since. Hey, I ain't always been what I should have been. I remember whenever I was 21 years old, I turned my back on God. Me and my wife, we met. I was inviting her. We knew each other. We'd went to school, and she hated my guts, bless God, because I used to run up and down the hall and act like an idiot sometimes. Huh? But I'll tell you what, when I went over there and invited her to the youth group, I was the youth director. And bless God, we got to know each other, and I went to a horse show with her. Went to a horse show with her. Yeah, I'm going to get that, brother. And you know what? We got to know one. That's how God brought us together. But it wasn't too long after that, I turned my back on God. I let an incident, something that happened in our church, I let Satan use that to drive a wedge between mine and God's relationship. I used to blame it on that preacher that come there after the man that married me and my wife. I blamed it on him for a long time. They chose to bring him in. I'm trying to make it quick. They chose to bring him in. Wasn't a vote of the church. They just put him in there because he was a missionary son. And I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't him and his wife got married about 2 or 3 weeks after they come up to North Carolina. They got married. And Lord, about 6.5, 7 months later, they had a 9-month full-term baby. I didn't think it was too funny. Because I knew it was wrong. I knew they'd had sex before marriage and he was going to be my pastor. How could he be my pastor whenever he'd done something like that? You know what? I let that drive a wedge between mine and God's relationship. Let me tell you something. You may have something like that may happen in your life. Don't let it drive a wedge between yours and God's relationship. Don't let it separate you from the sweet fellowship of the eternal God of this universe. And I tell you what, I walked around for a long time running from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that I was doing wrong, knowing what He wanted me to do. But thank be to God, whenever I went back, boy, whenever the sweet Holy Spirit convicted my heart again that I was wrong, that hey, I needed to be back with where I was supposed to be, where I was saved, and I needed to act like it. Hey, I'll tell you what, His hand was right where I left it, brother. It was right where I left it. You know what he done? I told you, I was in a youth group. I was kind of leader over that youth group. They had somebody that was kind of watching what I was doing too, because I was still young. But boy, I'm going to tell you what, whenever I put my hand back in the hand of God's, He put me right back in a good Bible-believing church that loved the Lord and put me right back in the youth ministry. And brother, it wasn't about a year and 2 months later, we brought them youth over here. And that's the first time me and you met. I don't know if you remember that or not. We brought them over here in this church. My daughter come off that merry-go-round out yonder. We brought them over here from Union Road Baptist Church. Amen. That was the youth group that God had put me back over. And I'm going to tell you what, they come over here and they sang out their little hearts for God's honor and His glory. And then after that, you took us down to the pizza place and fed us all. Bless God. You remember that? Boy, I ain't never forgot it. I said, boy, God sure has good people that He puts in good places to do a good work. And that love people. Because I'll tell you what, I wasn't coming over here expecting no blessing. But I'll tell you what, He received us with open arms. The congregation that was here, I think some of you that's here now were here then. And I'm going to tell you what, they received us with open arms. Hey, they just loved the thoughts of them kids coming over here and singing. And when we left here, boy, I got a blessing from on high. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I never will forget it, brother. You may have forgot it, but I never will. I'll tell you what, it was the first time we'd ever got to go out anywhere and do something with our young people. And they come over here and done just what God wanted them to do. And God's man done just what God wanted him to do. And he was a blessing back to them. I got kids that still remember it today that still come to me. Whenever I'm out on my bus route, they say, hey, you remember that little old white church over there with the little silver merry-go-round? Hey, I'm telling you what, it's the truth. And that's where my daughter got hurt the first time. The one that was up here singing. No, it didn't knock her out. Praise God, she had good enough, strong enough beliefs. She wasn't going to let it, don't let it knock you out. God loves you unconditionally. I'm going to tell you what, don't let somebody else's foolishness knock you out of church. Don't let somebody else talking knock you out of where God wants you to be. I'm going to tell you what, how many in here believe you where God wants you to be? I'm wanting you to show me your hand. If you believe you're where God wants you to be, let me tell you something. That's the best place you can be, right smack dab in the middle of God's will. You'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. He loves you. Unconditional. Let me tell you, it's the purpose of His love. That whosoever will, call upon His name and accept Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never done that. You've never accepted Jesus Christ. Brother, is it odd if we end early? I'll tell you what, I believe God's good. I believe it with all my heart. I believe when God says quit, I believe we ought to quit. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I want to take this opportunity right now here tonight. If you're here and you're lost and you're undone, there's nothing better than Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than His love. There's nothing better than knowing that you're saved. Let me tell you something. There's nothing better than knowing you're in the middle of God's will. And I'm going to tell you what. I believe that the man of God, I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor. I'll tell you what. I believed it even before I became a pastor. I believed it even before I was called to preach. I believe that the man of God, that God's placed over a local church, that, hey, I'm going to tell you what. God loves him, does he not? And I'm going to tell you what, I believe that the church that gathers around the pastor, and you know what, that they love him too. And I'm telling you what, ain't nothing better than I'm going to tell you what, it gets weak. Last 3 years I've realized that sometimes Satan's darts, they get a little strong. It seems like, and I'm not saying Satan don't throw no darts at you. Anybody that's doing anything for God, Satan's going to throw a dart at. But let me tell you something. This man, you believe he's the man of God that God's placed here? You love him? We done this at men's meeting, but his wife wasn't there. And I'm going to tell you what. I believe there's a time whenever, we're talking about revival, right? Has everybody feel like they've got a little bit of revived this week? I know I have. I'll tell you what, it's been long and it's been tiring from time to time, but I feel revived in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing how much He loves me. But I'm going to tell you what, there comes a time every once in a while whenever the man of God needs a little encouragement, whenever the man of God's wife needs a little encouragement. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask them to come up here and stand right here in front of this. That's a good thing I moved all that. Bless God, we'll move this too. Let's see if it'll stay balanced. Where they can come and maybe just lean, sit right here or stand right there. And I know it's tight. And I know that everybody's going to say, well, we can't get down there and get around. But let me tell you something, you can. We can line up down this way right here, and we can go right back that way to our seat, and then we can sing a song and praise the Lord and maybe even have a little bit of testimony about how good God's been. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I believe we ought to have a time that we can come up and say, hey, we love you. We know that Satan's dart's being hurled. But I tell you what, we're going to stand behind you. That's what the man of God needs today in this hour in which we live. He needs somebody that's going to stand behind him, that's going to be there. Hey, that's not going to say, well, he said that wrong to me. I didn't like that. It's time for me to leave. No, it's time for you to just talk to him and get it worked out and keep on moving on for God's honor and his glory. Amen. You said you believe you got where God wants you to be. Amen. Well, we ought to show it. Why don't we come up and just give him a hug and tell him you love him and you're praying for him. He needs your prayers. If you don't pray for nobody else and you say, well, he don't need my prayers, pray for me. Bless God, I do. I believe we could do that. And I'm going to tell you, he don't remember me from those many years ago, but I remember him and I've loved him ever since. Yes. Never will forget it. Have you got revived?